Today's show is sponsored by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Go to Cufflinks.com and use code GOT20 to get 20% off your order of officially licensed Game of Thrones products. That's right, baby. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR and stay tuned to the ad on the feedback episode. Did you hear it already? I told you how you could win a pair of Targaryen cufflinks. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR today. Hey, everybody. I had an awesome opportunity to jump on a YouTube show that Jack is doing from the famous Jay and Jack crew, the legendary podcaster Jack. He has a thing called Crazy Hank TV on YouTube. Go check it out. I'll put it in the show notes, the link to the video. And we talked about Game of Thrones, the last episode, and Nick joined us too from Game of Thrones podcast with Jay, Jack, and Nick. It was the first time I got a chance to talk to Nick, but it was awesome to talk again with Jack, a legendary Lost podcaster, a legendary podcaster. I had so much fun. I hope that we can connect and I can have them on podcast Winterfell. So take a listen. This is me with Nick and Jack. Enjoy.
Welcome to Crazy Hank TV. Today we're doing another episode of Game of Thrones. We're going to talk about the last of the Starks. And we have two guests tonight, two experts today. We have Axel. Axel, you'd like to...
Yes. Hi. Thank you, Jack. I am honored to be here with a legendary podcaster such as yourself. You know, we both started back in the Lost days. We're still doing it. So we've been down this road before. You can find me at Podcast Winterfell, podcastwinterfell.com. Just released our deep dive today. I was talking about it a little bit, and we also kind of went off and talked about how everybody's hating on the show because we love it.
Yeah.
We're loving this season. So I'm ready to talk about it.
Awesome.
And now we have Nick.
Yeah.
The other guy.
The other guy. From Jay, Jack, and Nick. Game of Thrones podcast, Jay, Jack, and Nick.
Nice. You don't want to talk about the Ramblecast where you're the other guy?
Oh, yeah. The Ramblecast, which is with the Crazy Hank story. If anyone wants to know what happens to Crazy Hank when he gets a little loose.
Yeah. Way too loose. But we're here to talk about Game of Thrones, not about my adventures and trying to stay sober, whatever it was. Axel, you started it, so you like the episode. You're happy with how the season's going.
Yes, I love this episode. I thought that it had a really nice balance. I thought that we had to have this part where we say goodbye to people in the beginning. I thought the whole shot of all those bodies and the bale and the logs or bales was amazing. And then we had this whole feast where we got to see how things are settling back into place. Because let's not forget, immediately before the whole Night King and the White Walkers attacked, Jon had just told Dany that he was Aegon Targaryen. So we had to figure that out. We have to see what the fallout is. And I love the whole thing. I thought the Dany angle is perfect. I'm not worried about it. I think she's always struggled with power leading up to the battle with Euron and the dragon, where I thought people are complaining and saying, why were they flying around? How didn't they know that Euron was there? Well, that's because Dany's arrogant. She always has to have the dragons out front. And here I am. Here's the dragons. And they knew she was going to be like that. So they took advantage of it. And all the way up to Missandei, who I'm sad to see go. But now Dany's all alone in the world. She's got nobody to talk to. A Targaryen alone in the world. Is there anything so sad? Remember that Maester Aemon said that to Jon? And I just love it. I love the direction it's going. I can't wait to see what happens. I think it's going to be very hot. A lot of fire coming up this weekend.
So, actually, are you a book reader? Did you read the books?
I am not a book reader, but I have been podcasting about Game of Thrones since 2011. Mm-hmm. And I have read Fire and Blood and the, Fire and Ice, The World of Fire and Ice.
Yeah. Okay.
And I've listened on and off, and I know the differences, but I'm not a book reader.
Okay. Because I think I am someone who was... I didn't hate the episode, but I'm a plot person, mm-hmm. and I enjoyed it, especially the beginning parts of it. Like you're saying, like, I thought the funeral and the dinner party was absolutely great. And then it slowly kind of started to fall apart, just plot wise, and like just natural reasoning. So like you mentioned the dragons, for example, like that was one of those things I kind of agreed with. It's like she's has the point of view. She has air superiority. How do you not see a small armada of ships below you? That makes no sense. Why didn't you fly the dragon around the ships? There's a lot of things like that. To me, it seemed too convenient for plot-wise for them to say, oh, it's just to even the odds. Like, we'll kill a dragon, and that way the audience will think that when she finally faces Cersei, you know, it'll be even. But then there's also the stupidity of even Euron in that same situation. It's like, instead of pressing the attack or trying to blockade Dragonstone, what's he do? He goes back to King's Landing and allows Dany and her army to land and confront them in front of King's Landing. That to me also seemed not really logical. I mean, there's a lot of other things in the episode that didn't make sense to me.
I accept those criticisms. I'm not one that's hugely into like military strategy or anything. So I did think, why didn't she just fly around? And when I rewatched, I was looking to see if the bolts were on the back of the ships too, headed the other way, which they were not.
They were not.
But I also think this.
And you can't just spin a ship around.
No, maybe Paw Patrol can though, Jack.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen that. Yes, we know Paw Patrol can.
Paw Patrol can.
They have tons of gadgets on Paw Patrol.
Oh, they can do anything.
If they hadn't just left Ghost up in the north, you know, the Paw Patrol.
Exactly, right? Ghost, Paw Patrol, go. But this is what I think. I think that Dany and John are terrible military strategists. They've shown this time and time again. Mm-hmm. I think they're terrible. They're just not good. They're not Stannis. They're not Tywin. They're not Rob. Rob was great. They just don't have it. And I think that there's some things that happen in this show that people find fault in that I think are purposeful. That because for some reason, especially because this is a show about fantasy and dragons, and they're almost like superheroes on this show. Everybody pretty much can like jump and do things and like do a sword, except for Sam, like me. I probably couldn't even lift up a sword. But I really think that Dany is arrogant. I think she just marches in with her dragons. She doesn't even look down. I really think that's true. It's just the same way. Look what John did. He messed up the Battle of the Bastards. He had to run after Rickon, right? Mm-hmm. Dany, how many times has she just thought she could go and burn everybody? She's always trying to show a big, you know, I thought in that way they did that on purpose, right? Because if you watch it, they have this shot of Dany and they're playing the Djawadi music, which is amazing. And then Danny's like, she looks over and Rhaegal's flying up there, who, by the way, John had just said that he shouldn't be flying because he's tired, mm-hmm. right? And then, whoop, the bolt hits. Because I think Dany was in that moment. She was feeling her power, right? She was just like, look at me, I'm the dragon lady. So I understand complaints about plot points. And I mean, this is a fantasy show. It's not exact. There's dragons in it. There are some, like, superhero-type elements. The same plot, like, failings you could find in, like, a Marvel movie. But, It didn't really bother me because I just always think that they're very bad at this.
Well, my issue with Dany and the dragons was they already know you have them. Like you're saying, she's arrogant.
Yeah.
Why they're already afraid of the dragons. You don't need to intimidate them at this point. They know you have them.
Yeah.
So why are you leading the way with the dragons? And like, you know, we're saying
I agree.
Like next thing, how did you not look around? Because she's up there floating around. I have dragons.
Yeah.
And I have one. So. Like I said, I've been on Team Sansa for a while, and Nick hates me for it.
I was going to ask about that.
But who said, let's let the troops heal a little bit. Let's let them recover from this horrible, horrible battle they just had where even Grey Worm was probably peeing his pants or whatever, you know, crapping his pants because he should never show any fear at all, was showing fear with, you know, the White Walkers. I mean, it just – So I'm on Team Sansa right now.
Yeah. Nick, were you going to ask me if I'm into, if I'm Team Sansa too?
Yeah, I saw the thumbs up, so I assumed.
I am. I am Team Sansa all the way, a fellow ginger, and you know, she could be my sister from another mother. But I think she's great. I think I call her Sensible Sansa. She is thinking about the people. She's thinking about the future. I thought she didn't tell somebody. I was saying on our podcast today, instead of just telling Tyrion, she should have gathered everybody in Winterfell into that room that they always, that Lyanna Mormont, R.I.P., was always like being so strong in. And she should have said, guess what, everybody? Jon's Aegar and Targaryen, and just laid it all out. I think she didn't tell enough people because it's lies that got them into this in the first place. It's hiding the truth that got them into this in the first place. It's not really knowing the true history that got them into this. So I'm always in favor of breaking these oaths, starting new traditions, and kind of like just doing it. And I think that's what Sans is doing.
Well, like, you and Jack are on the optimistic side, and as a Jay likes to point out, I'm a contrarian.
Okay. So, that's okay.
And so, to me, I'm looking at the character motivations and the histories of the characters, and to me, especially in this last season, they've really started to do a mirroring of a lot of characters. Because, like, you can do a simple one such as, what's his name? Gendry, mm-hmm. who's a Baratheon, who's in love with the Stark, who's not in love with him, you know, and like just like his dad was in love with the Stark, who wasn't in love with him. Yep. There's a lot of it going on. And Sansa, to me, is just like Cersei in that she was a woman in a man's world and was not taken seriously, and she would have done anything to be queen. That's her first motivation in season one, season two. Yep. And then you look at who her influences are. It's Cersei, it's Littlefinger, and it's Ramsay. Three really evil, manipulative people. Yep. And Jack's already heard all this, but you can look at her actions from an optimistic point of view, but I also see it as in, you know, she didn't tell John about anything about the veil or Littlefinger in season six. She undermined John entirely in season seven when everyone was like wanting him to be the new king of the North. She was like, what can he do? You know, because she wants to be taken seriously, which I get. And in this season, when John finally tells her the secret, within 10 minutes, instead of doing what I agree with, she should have told the world. But she didn't. She told Tyrion and put a seed of doubt within his head to manipulate him. And so I can easily see her being just like Littlefinger, but to where something from this action gets John and Dany killed. And it could end up with her being on the throne. But it's because she's doing it for those reasons. And so that's, I'm looking at it from an evil point of view.
I see where you're coming from, and I don't disagree about the Tyrion part. I think that was a mistake to be the one person you tell Tyrion, but a lot of what happens in this show is based more so on the people's personal relationships than the strategy, right? We see that time and time again. And Sansa probably shouldn't have told Tyrion. You're right, when she kind of disrespected Jon in front of everyone, you know, in the beginning. But I did a rewatch before this season, and one of the things I wanted to do was try to investigate my own thoughts on Sansa, because I was never a fan of hers, you know? Mm-hmm. Just because I don't really have a lot in common with a young girl of 13 who wants to be a princess. So it was always hard for me to kind of identify with her. But what I saw is that she had been through so much, and it wasn't until she stepped foot in Winterfell when Ramsay, you know, after 1-1 went down and all that, that she, for the first time in her life, could speak her mind. All that time with Littlefinger, all the time before that, she was controlled, and she was controlled by her own ideals of tradition, of who she should be in this society. And I think Sansa is breaking that down now. She sees, what do these oaths get us? What do these promises get us? What does this system get us? And in my mind, I think Sansa's more apt to break the wheel than Daenerys would ever be. But she's got to learn more, Nick, so I don't disagree with you. I mean, one of the things I constantly remind myself is that Sansa's like 20, right? Arya's like 18. Jon and Dany are like 24, right? Because they were 17. Jon was 17 when the show started, because all they did is talk about 17 years ago. And that's when Ned brought Jon, the end of the war. That's when he was born. So that's something I remind myself. You're talking about plot and things. I think about overall, they're still learning. When we met Ned, he was in his 40s.
Yeah.
When we met Tywin, he was in his 50s or 60s. You know, Cersei and Jaime are like in their 30s or 40s, you know, maybe 30s. So she's made mistakes, but this show is a lot about the future.
Do you think Sansa, I have a question. Do you think Sansa would have been more, would have backed Jon more if he would have said and not have gone with Dany, where he bend the knee and all this other, because she was never, she wasn't happy about that.
I do.
Because she doesn't she doesn't trust Dany, number one. And she doesn't think she's – obviously doesn't respect her. So if Jon said, I want the throne, she's not my queen, would Sansa say, okay, I will back you?
Hmm. I don't know. What do you think, Nick?
What was the question?
Sansa is like you said, is trying to go around and manipulate all this different stuff. Right. If Jon has said – okay, I'm not going to back Dany. I'm not bending the knee. I want the throne.
Right.
Would Sansa have said, okay, I will help you get there?
It's
a good question.
Because she doesn't respect – we've seen it. She doesn't respect Dany. She
I think she
makes
still
it difficult for her all the time.
Well, if Jon didn't have his dying loyalty to Dany, he might have actually sided with Sansa – and saying, okay, we're going to wait.
Right.
I could see him doing that.
So that was the right move.
Yeah. Here's another question. With Arya going south, we all assume that she's going to go fulfill her list. But who's to say that she might not? She might be going down there to kill Dany.
That's an interesting point. You know, there was someone had a theory that Cersei hired the Faceless Men to take out Dany, and somehow the contract got to Arya or something. I was like, I don't know if she's really still in contact, but you know what? Maybe she's going to want to take out both or just be there to do what she needs to be done when the battle's over. That's the thing I think about Arya. I think she might be pulling a Cersei here. Like how, and which is really a Littlefinger, right? When Littlefinger said, let Stannis and the Boltons fight it out and we'll pick off who's left.
Right.
Cersei did the same thing. Let the Northerners and the White Walkers fight it out and we'll pick off who's left. You know, I don't think she thought they were going to try to come down and march on her like they're doing, which I don't think is a good idea to begin with anyway. But maybe Arya is there to kind of see, maybe Dany takes out Cersei and then Arya's there to take out Dany, or you know what I mean? Or Cersei wins and but man,
you think maybe Arya's already had it worked out with Sansa that this is supposed to happen?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like they probably realized that Jon was not gonna, it's better to keep things from Jon. They went, okay, let's talk off screen, you know, and say, okay,
yeah,
let's do this.
Hey, Nick, I'm sorry, Jack, but based on what happened last season when they had their secrets going on with Littlefinger,
right?
I like that idea.
Yeah. Now we've crapped on Jon, but he did build a coalition, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing he's done right.
That's true.
I give Davos credit for that.
Yeah. That's my pick. You want to know something? That's my dark horse pick. Everybody says Tyrion should sit on the Iron Throne, which I think would be a terrible idea. All these other people, to me, Davos is the man.
He's definitely the most honorable of them all and honest.
Yeah. And he does what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, go ahead, Jack.
I believe that Sansa and Tyrion are going to marry and share the throne.
I like that idea.
I'm just going with it. Nick hates it, but I'm going with it.
I like it. Hey, you know what? Ken – who is a frequent guest this season. He used to have a podcast called Cripples, Bastards, and Broken Things.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, he's a huge Sansa fan. And that's he keeps on sending me drawings that people do on the internet of Sansa and Tyrion getting married. I, like, look down at my phone and he's texting me all these, like, little photos that are like paintings of Sansa and Tyrion holding hands.
Technically, aren't they still – shouldn't they still be married?
Yeah, they never got divorced or annulled. Yeah.
I mean, I know she married Ramsay, but
– Well, you could say that the Lannister that, you know, who I guess at that time Tommen was king, right?
Right.
Tommen could have done something to make it happen and we don't know about it. You know what I mean? But it's possible that they still are married.
Because they definitely care for each other.
Yeah, they do. And she would be good for him because I think, hey, that's a guy who's been messing up a lot. Tyrion, how many times has he messed up?
A lot.
You know, and he's drinking a lot. And so
he's always drank a lot. Yeah.
Well, he could, you know what he did? He was calming down a little, right, since he met Dany, since he did that whole drunk, what was like a pub crawl through Essos with Varys, right, and got kidnapped. But I do want to say, Jack, that I agree with you about Jon. He is a coalition builder, and I love Jon as a character. I just think that he's not a general.
No, he's not. He's a fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
He's someone you. If you're going to battle, you want Jon by your side.
Yeah,
not Sam. But you want Jon by your side. So, but like I said, I agree. He's not a leader. You know. In that way.
Yeah.
I don't know. But do you think Tyrion's problem maybe you saw it in the scene where he was talking with Cersei and like pleading with her, look, come on, you know, you're not that bad a person, that maybe it's a family thing that he's just torn between Dany and he's kind of losing faith in Dany. And, you know, he has Sansa on this side and he has his sister, it's family, it's blood. That he doesn't want to see her die. Plus that she's pregnant.
Oh. Oh, you mean Cersei?
What did I say?
Yeah, Sansa? Yeah. No. Yeah. I was thinking about that. Well, I was just thinking because so many people are theorizing that Dany's going to be pregnant before the end of the season.
Right.
but Tyrion, I think you're right, Jack. Hey, we find this in life. Sometimes the things that we're always talking about that we hate, we're secretly attracted to or secretly desire. And Tyrion, even though he said and killed his own dad and hates his family and hates the Lannisters, what did he really want? He just wanted them to love him and accept him.
Accept him, yeah.
So in the end, he doesn't want his brother and sister to die. He really wants to love them. He really wants everything to be okay. So I think Dany is right. He's blinded by his family.
Right.
I agree with her on that.
Yeah. Dany said something smart.
There you go.
Something we can all agree with.
Yeah.
Going to that scene, just little plot things that, you know, I noticed when watching the episode. So that final scene also made zero sense to me from a logical point of view. I pointed out some of these on our podcast. So Qyburn's outside the gates. And so when they kill Missandei, like, did you see him just kind of sneakily back in the gate? Like, well, you're dead. That didn't happen. And also, I thought it was really dumb for her to kill Missandei. It's like, that's her one bargaining chip. You know, Cersei is like, I have your, you know.
Well, I don't think she cares, though.
She doesn't care, but it's still, it doesn't make sense to do it, really. I mean, what are you really proving?
But, you know? But that's what I'm trying to say, Nick. You're applying a logic to people, and honestly, this is something I find, and I don't want to tear down your contrarianism, but or just being critical, which is cool, and this is what we do, we podcast. But I think often in television we see characters that act, we always say things like they have to earn something or they have to act according to their character or this was not in character. How often do your friends act in character? How often do you act in character? People are
constantly. I have no friends.
Yeah. I just had Jack.
Well, I just mean that people are hypocritical. So I actually enjoy it in a television show when a person just does something, you know? So Cersei is in a mode of just doing stuff. She gets a feeling and she does it. You know what I mean? I think she's a little bit past the negotiating, and she really just wanted, I think as soon as she got Missandei, she was like, oh great, I can kill her in front of Danny.
You know, you think she did it more for Danny or more for her brother?
Maybe both, you know?
I think it was a giant F you to her brother when he was saying, "This is, you're not evil, you're not this, you're not that." And she's like going, screw you, I am.
Yeah.
I want them to think that. I want them to be afraid of what's – because, you know, you have a Barry saying you can't go – you're going to kill thousands and thousands of innocent people to get the throne. And, of course, he doesn't want that.
Yeah.
So I think Cersei wanted that. I think she wanted her brother. I think it was more an F you to her brother.
That's an interesting point, Jack, and that makes it kind of Nick, you were talking about mirrors to the other generation, but there's mirrors within our current generation. And if you think about the conversation that Jaime had with Brienne when he said, everything for Cersei, everything for Cersei, you know, I'm like her. I'm a bad person. And
right.
Then what happens at the end of the episode? Cersei done cut off Missandei's head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like proving that Jaime was right. And also, I love Nicholas Coster Waldo. I think Jaime is a great character, but that dude's a scumbag. I am no fan of his, and I do not think he has been redeemed in any way. So,
you know, but we wanted to like him because he had started to, there's a glimmer of hope there.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he said that episode, I'm bad.
Yeah.
You need to just get away from, I'm bad. I'm bad news. Cause he's controlled by his sister.
Yeah.
Cersei controls him.
And
he goes, I pushed a kid out of a window. And I, you know, this long list of things he did for his sister.
He's addicted to her. He's addicted to his sister.
Yeah.
You know, he can't get enough of that Cersei. And what do you guys think? Do you, because there was some consternation on the interwebs that some people saw that conversation with Brienne and Jaime as Jaime saying to Brienne, I got to go back to her. I love her. I gotta go be with her. Did you think he was going to kill her or go be with her?
Yeah, I think it's more he wanted to die with her.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's what more I thought about it. I thought maybe because I'm on the kind of thing where people, the theory out there for the longest time was he was going to kill her.
Right.
Right. That's the, but I think that he's, I think they're going to end up dying together.
Yeah. I didn't see it as an I love her, I have to go back to her. I think it's just like Tyrion, like what you're saying about Tyrion, is that Jaime has been trying since he lost his hand to do the right thing.
Right.
But I think it's another one of those points for me about being not really liking Sansa too much is that when the news comes back that the dragon is dead and then they lost half the fleet, the look that she gives Jaime is this little evil smirk. Of saying, you know, like, I always wanted to be there when your sister died. Looks like I'll miss it, you know, and she's doing it almost to goad him into doing something. And I think that really hit home to him is that even though I've turned against my sister, I don't want her to die. Mm-hmm. And he's going down there, I think, with the intent to save her.
Right.
But I think in the end, I think Jack's right that they'll both die in the process.
Wow. Yeah, see, I just kind of took it that he was – I wasn't quite sure, but it was almost like kind of – I think you said, Jack, like he just needs to be with her. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like whether it's – whether he ends up killing her,
well, they're twins, so they have that bond.
Yeah, they came in together. They're going to go out together. I like that,
Jack. And they have another bond, but, you know, it's
– Yeah, that's salacious. Hey, there was – I had a theory today I want to throw at you. Because I know now, Nick, you're are you a book reader?
I am.
Okay, yeah. So it's not in the show, I know, but the Valonqar prophecy, which would they? I mean, not it's not in the show, but they cut it out there. But I know in the book, it's
half of it is in the beginning of season five.
Yes, so they include the younger blonde woman and the kids, but they cut out the brother.
Right?
Was it younger brother or blonde?
Younger brother?
Okay. So we were I was thinking maybe Arya, maybe the Hound and the Mountain have Clegane Bowl. One of them dies. Arya takes their face and kills Cersei. Because I'm on this tip that a lot of people think Arya is going to kill Cersei, but I think they have a unique opportunity to give us like a Lost style double whammy.
Yeah.
Where we find out that not only was it not the person we thought that killed Cersei, it was Arya. But then when she takes the face off, we're like, oh no, that means that person's dead. So it's like a double death. Like we don't see, like the Clegane Bowl starts and then it stops. And then like, you know, the mountain walks in, right? And then Cersei's like, you defeated him. And then the mountain cuts off Cersei's head and then turn around and off comes the helmet and it's Arya.
Can you imagine the fan backlash of that, though, because the mountain is so big, you know? And like, well, now how did that work? I know it's magic, but still. It's
like, hey, it happened in Walder Frey, right? She kind of like all of a sudden, like it was like, you know, what was that? Remember, Jack, you remember when Tim Conway did the little Dorf on Golf?
Yes, yeah.
And like all of, it was like a big head, but the little body is like, that's right. What happened with Walder Frey. All of a sudden she was like little again. Right. But I thought that might be fun. To see, but I don't know. I like that idea, Jack, that Jaime and Cersei die together. I kind of feel like Cersei is going to go mad queen, mad king at the end. And I think that they used the wildfire once, they used it twice. I think they got to use it a third time. And I think she might just take out King's Landing.
But weren't you saying, Nick, that was on our podcast, you said it was hidden throughout the...
You're right. Nick knows... It's not, and in the show they said it too. They said it's in this, and Jamie actually said it. Jamie, when he was in the bathtub with Brienne, he said he put the wildfire everywhere. It was beneath the city. It was beneath the houses everywhere. Right. So I think
and maybe that's what Varys is worried about because he said you send the dragon in, torch that stuff.
Good point. Yeah. He would know that too, wouldn't he, Jack? Because he was there.
Yeah.
He was there with them. Everybody forgets that. He was there with the Mad King. Good stuff.
And maybe he doesn't want to tell Danny this because, you know, obviously if that just gives her an easy boom, torch King's Landing.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Do you all think that last conversation that happened with Varys and Tyrion, that Varys is going to try to take Danny out or is already trying? Because it seemed to me like he was saying he was going to have to kill her to get her out of the way.
I think Tyrion kills Varys.
Oh, that's what he thought. He thought that Tyrion was going to stop it. What do you think, Nick?
It's very possible. I mean, I'm like 100% sure that Varys is going to die.
Yeah.
Melisandre
said so.
She said so, exactly. I still have some hope for Varys and that he won't be a villain. Because I do believe he serves the realm, but you've probably never heard this. But like my theory from 10 years ago, and I even asked George R. R. Martin about it.
Oh, nice.
Like I've always believed Varys was a Blackfyre, which is a bastard line of the Targaryens.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I know about the Blackfyre Rebellion.
The Blackfyre Rebellion. Yeah, and because he's from Essos, you know, and you learn from Melisandre that you know that a wizard took his genitals because they wanted. You know, and he has royal blood, so it makes total sense that he's that way. He shaves his head because he has a silvery hair, but he's doing that. His motivation is the realm, but he wants the Targaryens on the throne. But you know, but he wants the best one for the role. So it doesn't surprise me that he would betray Dany in favor of Jon. He just wants the right thing.
That's interesting. He has talked about the Targaryen restoration before, and don't forget, he gave her the eggs.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
So, I mean, I think he will redeem himself maybe in this coming episode because I think that he is actually in control, in charge of the Golden Company. He probably hired them, and they just used the Greyjoys to get the army across the Narrow Sea. And then he'll be the person that actually owns their contract, and then like, he'll flip the army against Cersei. But I think in the last episode, when all the cards are finally on the table, like he'll die.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I mean, who knows? I'd like to be proven once. Right.
I don't know if they're going to get into the Blackfyre stuff with in the show. You know, they may allude to it in some way by him saying, like, we're related distantly, you know, and then the fans will get excited. But I like that idea. Yeah, Varys is an interesting cat, man. I've always loved that character.
I always support the bald guys. So, got to support the brothers.
So you're a Targaryen, Jack?
Yeah, sure I am. Yeah. Well, I thought this was interesting. I learned some stuff. It was nice.
Me too. Thank you very much. Oh, we good? We done? We're out?
Unless you guys have something else you want to talk about.
I probably got to go check on the kitties in the bathtub.
Yeah, it might be a good thing. But anyway, Axel, give us your information again.
Yes. Y'all can find me at podcastwinterfell.com, dvrpodcast.com. We're going to be covering Westworld. Actually, after Game of Thrones, I'm going to try to cover Big Little Lies. I'm looking for someone to cover it with me. I'm looking for a female that's interested in that because it is a show about women, and I think that perspective is probably a good idea. But I love the show.
We have a few podcasters on our network that are female that do watch it.
See, hey, if any of them are interested in one episode a week, that's all I'm doing. No feedback, initial reaction, none of that stuff. Just one episode a week. I think on Wednesday I'll drop it and just cover Big Little Lies. That's going to be a lot of fun. And that'll be on another podcast, Daily DVR. Check it out.
I'll let them know.
That'd be awesome.
And Nick, where can we find you?
You can find me on the Ramblecast. Owen and Brew's Barbecue, which is a Star Wars podcast.
And that I've never been on.
Yeah. And is that it? Am I on another one? Yeah.
You're
and
on Game of Thrones
with Jay Jack and Ray.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Well, this is great. I would like to have you all on Winterfell sometime. We could talk more about it. This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Would love it. This was great. Like I said, I learned a lot, and that's always a good thing when you're on a podcast or just chatting that you learn something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's all we got. We're out of here.
See ya.
Bye.